All right, yo, yo, everybody. Here is another episode of the Mind Body Marathon. And on today's episode, it's just yours truly, Dr. Leo Kormanik here, giving you some insights on how to utilize breath work and visualization in a 5 minutes before your race. Basically, how to conquer the mind and how to get race ready within 5 minutes before a major race. Whether it be, you know, and it could be really any performance, honestly. It could be whether you're any track athlete doing pole vault or long jump, or whether you play football or basketball, volleyball, doesn't matter. Going to look at it through the lens of running, which is just really ultimately one of the sports that we'll look at it through. But it could be utilized for any sport, golf, you know, pickleball, anything, honestly. But it's basically just after the realm of understanding how to use like visualization and breath work to get to the right desired output. And, you know, I think this is a hard topic to capture. We're going to capture it hopefully within 15, 20 minutes here. But I think doing nothing is the wrong move, right? So just showing up to an event and letting the event arrive and being a product of whatever stress your coach is putting on you or your teammates or your expectations of yourself, having that be the driving force for the performance is a mistake. The driving force for your performance needs to absolutely come from you. It needs to be, you basically need to have your fingerprint on the actual event itself and not be a product of what other people are expecting. And I think that's a very important thing to understand. And psychologically, what this does is this creates a mental, basically you go on the offense mentally and you're not relying on defensive measures and defensive outputs, which close you off if things don't go exactly the way you want. But if you're on the offense, if you're on the aggression, then you are more likely to be able to handle setbacks, more likely to be able to handle frustrating things that might happen throughout the course of the event. And you're not going to essentially like lose faith in sort of what your goal is, because ultimately setbacks are to be expected. Rarely, if ever, do things go off 100% seamless. And if they do, you know, that's pretty rare. Understand that and definitely don't expect that to be the case. You can sort of visualize the outcome and visualize a lot of the key components of the event itself, but, you know, expect, you know, some turmoil in between, and that way you're not going to be frustrated. Anyways, long story short, we're going to get to the 5 minute sequence here. But kind of a little bit of a backstory. So when I was in high school, well, basically actually all through middle school, whenever I performed any sport, I didn't really run track until eighth grade. And then I started running track in eighth grade, and I pretty much did it just to beat this one particular person that was beating me all the time at wrestling that season. And eventually I did start to beat this individual, and that mattered a lot. That gave me a lot of confidence and realized I was a pretty good runner. So when I go to high school, I was definitely like the fastest person almost immediately on my team. And that psychologically kind of put me in a place of like, I can control a lot of variables at that point. I wasn't, you know, I went into a lot of races, pretty heavy favorite, almost every single race my high school career. Just because I was basically a conference that wasn't very good. But you know, when I got to the big stage at state, you know, I still showed up pretty well. And I think a lot of the stress from my childhood and a lot of the things like, you know, some of the setbacks that I had previously experienced in my life, like kind of prepared me for some good performance outcomes. But when my senior year came, and definitely in college, early college, I definitely did not deal with stress well. I got very focused on outcomes. I just became very defensive. You know, I wasn't racing the way I wanted to race. I was trying to perform in a manner what other people thought I should do, like coaches or other teammates. You know, I just wasn't committing to the event in the same way that I should have been. You know, had I kind of put my own onus on the actual event. So about my junior year in track, this kind of flipped. I really was just like, you know, like I'm not going to run professionally or anything. I'm just going to like kind of focus more on school my junior year. And I was still taking running seriously, but then I remember for an indoor track race, I was really studying hard for this hard math exam coming up. And I remember I was like tucked away for this indoor track event under the bleachers. And I just was studying away like crazy. And then one of my teammates found me and was like, yo, dude, you got to start warming up. Your race is in like 10 minutes. And so obviously I didn't have time to warm up. So I just put on spikes and then put on my jersey. And I was like, all right, I don't really have anything to lose here. I didn't warm up and I'm just going to go out and try to win this. And I don't know why I had that thought, because I had really no business to even belong in the front of that race. But I was just so like, yeah, what am I going to do? Lose the race? Like, I'm going to lose the race if I don't challenge myself. So I might as well like at least try to win. And it was a weird thought, because I'd went a couple of years not being anywhere near the top guy of the team, because I ran for a pretty good team in college. And, you know, so I start the race and I'm like just putting myself up front, kind of where I don't belong. And long story short, I ended up winning the race. And I remember I got to the final lap and I was like, I think I'm going to win this mainly because I'm freaking everybody else around me out, because they know I'm not supposed to be there. And I very much relied on my kick a lot. I wasn't like a super speedy guy, but like I definitely could hold my own in a kick. And I did. I outkicked everybody and won the race. And I thought to myself, I think I went into that race psychologically much better prepared, because I didn't focus on anything. I just kind of went out there without a judgment and said, what's the point of the race? The point of the race is to try to win. So I just went out and tried to win and just kept it very simple. And I think the studying kind of prepared me for that, and kind of it loosened me up a bit, because I wasn't thinking too much about it. I kind of had set some expectations very low that season, and that, you know, kind of made it easier to kind of handle mentally. And then this sort of turned into, all right, well, I was like, all right, that's my trick. I'm just going to like study a bunch, like right before a race. But then, you know, that wasn't really the right move. I mean, I think ultimately I needed to kind of mentally prepare for things and kind of, be there more for my teammates in an honorable way, rather than just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. So what I then realized was that the more that I laugh and I joke with my teammates heading into a race, the better I ended up doing. And so then that kind of became, going into my senior year in college, you know, if I'm laughing on the line and I'm cracking jokes and I'm just like understanding what's at stake here for the event itself, but I'm also loose and free, then I'm going to race well. And that absolutely became the case. So then from that point on, I just became notorious for over racing relative to my fitness. Meaning, if you looked at my workouts and you looked at my, Strava, which we didn't have that really back in the day. But if you looked at my running log, which I kept an actual physical running log, you would be very unimpressed. And I liked that, actually, that I could race above what I was actually doing in workouts, that I knew how to show up. I knew how to perform 100%. And that was really just it, because I ultimately asked myself, if I'm towing the line, I know that the biggest issue is I don't want to look in the mirror after the race and know I didn't give it my all. So I'm just going to give it my all. Like, that's just answering the largest question at hand. So since I'm going to give it my all, what else do I have to be worried about? I mean, I can't control if somebody shows up to the event and runs out of their mind. I can't control if I'm sick. I can't control if somebody else is sick. I can't control if somebody else feels amazing. Like, there are so many variables you just can't control. So you just have to show up to the line and just know you're going to give it your all. And it's a very special thing in running, because giving your all is sort of relative, right? You can't just like get it right off the line and go 100% from the gun. So you have to be very strategic about it in terms of like learning how to get completely gassed right at the finish line. So basically, you know, if you're running a 5K, you stream that fatigue measure out over 5K. If you're running a marathon, you stream that over a marathon. And that is a very hard thing to master. But ultimately, in the end, that's what training and visualization is for. We've gone through episodes on visualization before, but when you're training, that's when you come to these conclusions. That's when you understand pacing. That's when you understand percentages of exertion during an event. You know, you're going to have a higher percentage of exertion on a mile, an all-out mile, versus your percentage of exertion in a marathon. Obviously, you're not going to go out in a marathon anywhere near the pace you're going to go out in an all-out mile. That's just common sense. But you know, when you get into those middle events, like a 3K, 5K, 10K, you know, how do you really understand that? Or if you're like a pole vaulter, how do you understand championship jumping versus non-championship jumping? Or if you're playing a championship basketball game versus a regular kind of intramural, you know, or interleague play game that matters a little bit less. So, you know, I think that understanding that component really matters. But ultimately, there was a period in my career where I did take it very serious and I was like writing splits of my arm and I was just super hyper-focused. But the minute I realized that I was like able to relax and laugh about things and just joke about things, then I understood that one, I'm going to give it 100%. So I answered the largest question. And two, I was going to rely on my reflexes. And I think my background in baseball really helped this. Because in baseball, if you've ever played baseball or softball, I think that's a really good sport to kind of teach you these lessons because the game is slow moving until it's not. So the ball gets hit, it's coming your way. You don't have time to think about, wait, do I throw to third or second here? Or do I throw to first? Or do I try to throw it back to the cutoff man? Or do I try to throw it all the way home? You don't have time to think that. So what you have to do is when you're standing around kind of waiting for the pitch to be thrown, you have to absolutely understand every single move you're going to do before the pitch even happens. And then so that way, when the pitch happens, you don't think, you just react. And so I think when you race, that's how you should operate. So that way, in the middle of a race, if you went out too fast, you react accordingly. You should visualize that in workouts. If you went out too slow, you react accordingly. If you don't feel good in the first mile of a marathon, you react accordingly. So basically, you need to think through all of the scenarios so that when the event comes, you just don't have anything to worry about because you've actually mentally discussed all of these points. And so I think that does help mediate some anxiety heading into a race, and then you can be free. And sort of the way I think of it is like, if I'm going to dance at a nightclub or at a wedding, I'm not going to go and think about things too much. The more you think about it, the more you're going to react weird. You need to kind of like go with the flow of it all, right? So that's how racing should be. You should go with the flow. You shouldn't be too rigid on what you expect. And that allows for this freeness. Like you're not going to go into like a wedding, like I'm going to, on this song at the third minute, I'm going to do this dance move. Like that's just a weird way to react. You wouldn't do that. So you're going to just basically go with the flow of it. If nobody's on the dance floor, well, then you got to be the energy. If everybody's on the dance floor, well, then you're going to kind of just take part. You know, it's just kind of, you're just going with the flow of it all. And that's sort of how I think about racing is just kind of like getting into that moment where I'm one of many in this race, and the race has a theme or a characteristic. It's going to go out hard. It's going to go out slow. It's going to go out aggressive. It's going to go out conservative. You know, it's really windy and, you know, there's a lot of fast runners or there's no fast runners here. You know, you're kind of just going to assess many, many scenarios here. And that all takes into account what you've mentally prepared. Long story short, if you're the kind of person that has thought through things and you have mentally prepared yourself and you're not very anxious for the race. I mean, you're anxious in the sense that, yeah, it's a big event and you're going to run some big event and yeah, there's obviously looming, but you're not nervous about the outcome because you know you're going to give it your all. You know you've thought through all the scenarios. So you're just going to react accordingly. So that's a very veteran move. And if that's the case, then you should do one particular breathing style. And if you are the kind of person that did not visualize things, did not adequately prepare yourself, or even if you did adequately prepare yourself from a mental perspective, you still are very anxious, like you're going to do a very technical event, like a pole vault or a long jump, or a very technical event, like an 800, which requires no mistakes, versus a marathon where you can have multiple mistakes that you can basically kind of dig yourself out from because you got a long time in the event. If you're that kind of person and there's a lot of anxiety involved, there's a very heavy technical aspect to it, then the type of breathing you should do, so we're going to kind of walk through the 5 minutes here. We're going to start with that one, then we'll go to the aggressive one. So if you are coming into the event very anxious and you need to calm your system down and you need to kind of like lower your heart rate and just get your sympathetics and your parasympathetics balanced in the autonomic nervous system, you're kind of like just a little too wired and you don't want to make any mistakes, you're kind of thinking about that, then you want to do more of the box breathing style. Okay. And so we've probably all heard this style. So basically, you know, at some point within the hour before the race, optimally, if you're in a setting where you can do it, you know, within a half hour before the race, that would be great. Some of you might be in a large race like a Boston New York Marathon where you can't do that. You're in a big corral. Then you can do this while standing, right? You can do this closing your eyes, kind of tucking your way in a corner where you're not going to be pushed to the side or anything. And you can kind of just get in your world and just do this breathing and this visualization. You can do it even standing in a corral. So, but basically the box breathing, you're going to start within this 5-minute cycle. You're going to take about 3 to 4 minutes doing the box breathing. So that's basically you're going to breathe in on a count of 4 seconds. Then you're going to hold on a count of 4 seconds, the breath. Then you're going to breathe out on a count of 4 seconds. And then you're going to hold on a count of 4 seconds. So 4 seconds breath in, 4 seconds hold. 4 seconds breath out, 4 seconds hold. 4 seconds breath in, and you're going to do that 4 times. So just think 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. So that's box breathing. And this basically just helps to, you know, breathing is that's why we're talking about essentially breathing before performance. It's the easiest way for us to tap into our blood biochemistry. And when we can tap into our blood biochemistry, that's the quickest way for us to balance our nervous system. Okay. To lower epinephrine, to lower cortisol, to basically, you know, balance the parasympathetics and the sympathetics, which is going to create a much more clear mind. If you're just running, your mind's just frantic and you're stressed and there's just so many like, you're just like really, really on edge, then absolutely do this box breathing. Okay. So, you know, that's about 3-ish minutes right there. Okay. So you're going to do 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. You're going to do 4 times. Then you kind of want to do a technique of a mantra with an anchor, sort of being like, with the mantra being your anchor. So then you're going to spend about a minute just visualizing some of the technical aspects of the event while you're saying a mantra in your head that is in opposition to your state of mind. So meaning if you are very anxious, very on edge, then you're going to go, I'm controlled. I'm controlled. I'm controlled. I'm controlled. I'm controlled. Or fluid, fluid, fluid. And that you just repeat this statement over and over and over the course of a minute while you're visualizing the start, the finish, you're visualizing making moves in the race, you're visualizing being in pain at mile 20, you're visualizing very specific moments that might be looming in your head, but all the while saying something that's in opposition to what your state of mind is in, basically to kind of bring you back to center. If you're on edge and you're anxious, then you're trying to calm yourself down, okay? And then you're going to finish with about 30 seconds or so of just kind of like clearing out and making a mental awareness of and clearing out energy of different parts of your body. So you're going to start at your feet. So toes, feet, ankles, knees, thighs, hips, back, shoulders, neck, head, energy's out. One of the reasons why this matters is when we become very, very anxious, we tend to rely on some of the more older muscles that we've contracted as kids. So like, think about like, this is like ontogenesis where as you've watched a baby develop, they're not very, they don't have a lot of dexterity essentially, or a lot of coordination. And so they're using a lot of their power muscles. So like their pecs and their hip flexors and their, you know, back muscles to do all these broad movements, which is why they seem uncoordinated. Because as we get older, we learn how to recruit all these tiny little muscles that create fine motor movements, fine muscle movements. When we do this sense of awareness, what we're telling our brain is, hey, I know you're anxious, but you don't have to rely on just these power muscles. We have this whole other set of muscles that you can also recruit. So it'll think about the foot intrinsics. It'll think about the ankle stabilizers. It'll think about the knee stabilizers. It'll think about the hip stabilizers and the back stabilizers and the diaphragm. And then all of a sudden, you're not just recruiting these power muscles, which will fatigue. Okay. So your brain just suddenly wakes up to a broader pool of muscles it can recruit. And that's just an absolute brilliant thing about the mind. The mind is just, it's almost like you're taking a spotlight and you're like shining it on all these different areas of muscle recruitment. And then all of a sudden the brain goes, oh wait, yeah, I have all of these awesome stabilization muscles I can also recruit. So then now all of a sudden at mile 20 in a marathon, when things start to unravel, oh wait, we have all these backup muscles that we forgot about. So then it starts to recruit all these other muscles to help support you and get you through that final bit. It's just absolutely so awesome how this works. The other thing it does is, like, once you make yourself aware of some of these muscles and how some muscles, like the traps, like in your shoulders, might be like really on edge, or your hip flexors, then your brain goes, hey, dudes, you can calm down a little bit. And then we can activate some of the other muscles that are not so turned on or activated. So it kind of creates that better balance between what we call phasic muscles, which is like a bicep or like your hip flexor. They're recruited in phases when they are needed, versus stabilization muscles, which are recruited 100% of the time. So that kind of creates that better balance. So that's the anxious person, right? That's the basically somebody that's going to do a highly technical event. That's going to, they're basically super worried about what's pending. Maybe they are not as fit as they would like to be. Maybe they are not, they feel like they're in over their head. You know, basically they're not adequately prepared for the event itself. But all the while in this, the biggest thing that we need to recognize is not drawing judgment on the performance. Because if we adequately thought through all of the scenarios of the event, you know, like the famous saying is, a race must be run 1,000 times in your mind before you even toe the line. Well, that's amazing, right? Like if you've cleared your head of all the thousand scenarios of the race, well, then that makes it so much easier to conquer mentally. And so that just helps you not draw judgment on the event itself. Because if you know you're going to give 100%, you can look yourself in the mirror at the end of the race. You know, what have you got to lose? What have you got to worry about? So, like, you don't need to draw judgment about anything. If it's a couple seconds slow or a couple minutes slow, like, who cares? You gave it your all. That's just you on that day. So you don't need to be stressed about that. I mean, ultimately, none of us are going to be the world champs, or none of us are going to like set world records. I mean, that's such a small sliver of the world population that's even in that category. So the vast majority of us that are listening to this don't have that to worry about. Like, we don't have to be so locked into these, like, you know, percentages and just get too minute with our mindset. So I just think that's really critical, the thought of not drawing judgment. Now let's switch to somebody like myself who goes into races maybe a little bit lackadaisical. Like I tend to just show up to a race, and I mean, I will obviously mentally prepare for things, but a lot of times, like, you know, I like the thrill of the unknown. So I kind of sometimes go in like embracing the unknown. And when that's the case, if I'm not scared of a race, I'm not worried, I'm not anxious, I don't really care what happens because I know I'm going to give it my all. I mean, I care, but I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I care in the sense that, like, I'm going to give it my all, but I don't care because that of what specific thing might happen. Like, say I'm running an all-out 400 and I run 60 flat instead of 59. Well, like, that's fine to me, because as long as I can look myself in the mirror and know that I, like, gassed myself in a quarter mile, well, then that's fine for me. I'm not going to stress about any of that. So when you come into these races, like, not worried, like, you're ready for an alley fight, you know, you're just like totally embracing the struggle ahead of you, then I think the Wim Hof breathing method is a really smart strategy. Because when you're coming in with this offensive mindset, well, then let's pile oxygen into your body. Let's get the nervous system to ramp up. Because since you're not worried about the event or anxious about the event, your sympathetics kind of are a little low. And so we need you to kind of ramp that up. We need you to kind of like bring that intensity right to the line. So Wim Hof breathing basically is, you're going to take, you know, there's a lot of different variations of this, but I think if you're kind of doing it within the 5-minute sequence before a race for about 3 minutes, you're basically going to, and again, same thing, optimally, you're going to try to do this within a half hour of the race. You know, you've done your warm up, you put your shoes on, and you've got your bib, everything's where it needs to be. And then you're going to lock in mentally, right? So you're going to start doing the Wim Hof breathing, as opposed to somebody who's super anxious would do that box breathing. So in the Wim Hof breathing, so you're just going to put a timer on your watch for 3 minutes. You're basically going to breathe in about as deep as you can through your nose. And then you're going to breathe out about halfway of that through your mouth. So you're going to breathe in as deep as you can through your nose, and then breathe out about half of that air, or maybe two thirds of that air, through your mouth. And then you're going to repeat breathing in a ton through your nose, and then about half or two thirds out through your mouth. So obviously you are breathing in much, much more than you're breathing out. Now, be cautious. This might create some dizziness. So if you are in a corral at like the Boston Marathon or the New York Marathon, where there's just a lot of people and you just can't lay down and do this, because optimally you would want to lay down and do this, then, you know, like, just be careful. Just be smart about it. Like, just lean against something or something like that, because you might get a little bit lightheaded because you are breathing in a ton of oxygen, hyperperfusion of oxygen. What this is going to do, this is just going to just charge up your cells. And that hyperperfusion of oxygen stimulates the sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight or flight part of the nervous system. The parasympathetics, as I was alluding to earlier, is your feed and breathe that calms you down. So somebody that's really anxious, we're trying to get a balance of the calming and the stimulating part of the nervous system. Somebody that needs to rile themselves up to get to a point of aggression, they need to be stimulatory. So that's why they're loading themselves with the Wim Hof breathing with a lot of oxygen. So you're going to breathe in a bunch and then breathe out a little bit over the course of 3 minutes. So you're going to get a ton of oxygen in. You're going to ramp up the nervous system. The sympathetics are ready to go. That fight or flight's being amped up and you're ready to go on the offense. Okay. Then you're going to do the same thing where you're going to do for the next minute or so, you're going to do a mantra. Now this mantra is going to play into the hands of what you want, right? So if you want to go out fast, you're going to think that. You're going to go, I'm going out fast and aggressive. I'm aggressive today. I'm aggressive today. I'm aggressive today. I'm aggressive today. If that's your mantra, you want to be aggressive. You don't want to shy away from pain. You're going to lean into the race. Well, then that's what you say in your mantra. You know, you might have the mindset of like, you know, you don't want to get frazzled and you want to make very clear decisions. So you might say, I'm in control. I'm in control. I'm in control. I'm in control. All the while thinking through very specific parts of the race, the start, the finish, the tough points in the race. If you're running an all out 100, you're going to think about 200 left, the decision you're going to make there. If you're running an all out mile, you're going to think about that bell lap. If you're running a marathon, you're going to think about mile 20. You're going to think about those moments that are rough. And so you're going to say this mantra over the course of that minute while thinking through those things. Then, just like the anxious individual, you're going to go through from head or from toe to the head, from the bottom up, you're going to think about every part of your body. And you're just going to just bring an awareness to that part of the body. And I often when I do this, I just literally say, don't draw judgment, don't draw judgment, don't draw judgment. And I'm basically just there. I know I'm going to execute 100%. I know I'm going to give it my all. I know I'm going to react accordingly. I have a deep catalog of racing experience in my brain. When something happens in the race, I do not panic. I'm going to react accordingly. This is that concept of, you know, Tom Brady in the later part of his career. He doesn't have to study as much film because he's basically seen it all. You know, once you've kind of raced and had a lot of experience, and you can just sort of rely on that. You can trust on that and just make that reflex the case. If you're new to racing or you're in high school or you're in college and you're trying to figure it out, well, then in that instance, what you're really trying to do, or you're trying to run, you know, semi-professionally or professionally after college, you know, in this instance, then you do need to actually kind of prepare yourself mentally and think through things a little bit more. But, you know, in the end, you're more prepared than you think you are. And when we're all backed into the corner in these events, you know, whether it's a basketball game or an all-out PR marathon, when you're backed into a corner, trust your instincts. You know, trust your instincts. Like when you're test taking, like trust your first instinct. Like that's probably the right answer. Like there's a lot going on in the subconscious that we are unaware of. And this breathing sort of taps into that. Okay. So in sort of recap, basically if you're overly anxious and overly stimulated and you're worried and you're frustrated and you got like, you know, general sense of anxiety going on, then do the box breathing and then do the mantra that calms you down and then go from foot to head in terms of relaxation. Then if you're on the other side of the spectrum, you're trying to rile yourself up. You aren't worried. You aren't stressed in the same way as somebody who is anxious, but you know you're going to make good reactions, good instincts. Then do the Wim Hof breathing to stimulate and get yourself into that right mindset. I don't think it would be wrong if somebody that's anxious did Wim Hof breathing. I don't think that's a wrong maneuver, but I just don't think it's the best maneuver, right? So I think any breathing you do in a concerted effort before a race is smart. And not that these are the only two breathing methods out there. I'm essentially not saying that, but I do think that these are two really easy ones that we can do that are more effective. And I personally feel like they are going to get you to the quickest results without clouding too much of the stress of the situation, right? They're very simple to understand. They're not very complicated breathing techniques. And so, you know, if you are intending to implement this in your races, then I would encourage you to do these in practice before some of your workouts. Maybe if a coach sent you a workout that scares you and you're like, oh God, this is going to hurt or suck. This is going to be long. This is going to be hard. Then do these breathing techniques in that situation and just see how it works, right? Just start to believe in the process of like tapping into your nervous system. You know, essentially all of these things we're saying are just trying to manipulate the mind to get the right output from our nervous system. And again, the vast majority of that is subconscious. But when we do it in this way, we are tapping into that deep reserve of the mind. So if any of you know or listening to this episode know of somebody that's going to be performing at a high level, about to do a big race, about to do a big event, and you really want to share this with them, this is kind of a foolproof measure to help the body out. I mean, it's not like, you know, this should provide no additional stress to the event. There's really no wrong way to do this. It's either going to do nothing or something. It's not like it's going to harm you. So you might as well just tinker with it and try it. It might be the case that if you try it, you know, the first time you're like, this sucks. It didn't do anything for me. Maybe you do it two or three more times and you realize, oh wait, actually I'm getting the hang of it. And I do recognize that when I create this awareness, I have better outcomes. And so I would encourage you to try it over a couple of times. But if any of you know anybody that's going to be in this situation and feel like you're trying to get their mind right before they perform, then please send them this episode. Cause I really think this is just an easy measure of some of the ways that I've conquered the performance anxiety and that I can ensure that I get the highest output from myself. So I hope you found this interesting. And again, feel free to share this and feel free to give us some comments or feedbacks. Thank you. Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries.